Hey, everybody. Stacey and Cardiff here with a bonus episode.
We're launching a new podcast here at Planet Money. It's called The Indicator.
You can think of it as a companion to Planet Money. It is shorter, faster, newsier. Some would argue much better looking.
We kid. We love our colleagues on Planet Money.
They're very good looking.
Even if they're jealous of us sometimes.
It's true.
So we wanted to share one of our recent episodes with you. And if you like it, go subscribe to it. Search for The Indicator on the NPR One app or wherever you get your podcasts. Here's our latest show.
I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
I'm Cardiff Garcia, and this is The Indicator from Planet Money, a show about work, business, and the economy.
Also, a show where we are not afraid to go full Walden Pond. Yesterday, the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, voted to end a policy called net neutrality.
The chair votes aye. The item is adopted with editorial privileges granted.
Net neutrality is essentially a rule that internet providers have to treat all web traffic equally. So, for instance, they can't decide to block a website or to make some content extra fast and some of it really slow. And the reason net neutrality is such a controversial issue boils down to a single number. And that number, as luck would have it, is today's indicator, 58%. 58% of Americans have access to, at most, one option for broadband internet. And Cardiff, you know something about this.
Oh, hell yes, I do. Essentially, what happened was that at the end of 2014, I had become fed up with my internet and cable service.
Okay.
Right? It just wasn't working very well. And on top of that, the amount that I was paying each month had gone up. And nobody told me. And I'd called to complain. And essentially, they said that they couldn't really do much about it. When I started investigating what my options were for cable and internet, it turned out that actually Time Warner really was the only real option.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I was pissed off. And essentially what I decided was that I was just going to not just cut the cord on cable, but I was just going to stop getting any of Time Warner services.
No internet.
Right.
In your apartment.
That's
at
correct.
All.
So it was Time Warner or bust. And I said, screw it. I'm just going to go a few months without the internet and without cable and see how that goes. And a few more months finally became a whole year or so. Zero dark 2015.
Full Walden Pond.
Full Walden Pond.
Today on the show, we talk net neutrality and explore its deeply rooted connection to, Cardiff, your cable situation, also the cable situation of most of the people in this country.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from Amica Insurance, offering auto, home, and life insurance. Amica is committed to customer service that goes above and beyond. Expect something different when you experience Amica. Visit meetamica.com/NPR.
So, Cardiff, you live in New York.
Indeed, both of us do.
Yes, and this is a city where, you know, there are like 17 different Chinese restaurants in a four-block radius. So how is it possible that you would have just one good option for high-speed internet?
I don't know. I wish there was somebody we could ask.
In fact, there is. I put this question to Shane Greenstein. He teaches at Harvard Business School.
Oh, that is a wonderful question.
Okay, tell me. Shane says the story starts back in the 60s. There was this new thing called cable TV. No more rabbit ears, much better picture. But there was a problem. It cost a lot of money to dig up the ground and put in cable lines to every single house.
Initially, when cable was first being built out, it really was not affordable to have more than one firm because there wasn't high take-up.
But cities really wanted cable to be available to people. They wanted the cable companies to invest in putting the lines in. But the cable companies at that time were small. They didn't have a ton of cash. So they said, okay, we will put in this expensive new infrastructure. We'll take this risk and make cable available to everyone in the city. But we want something back. We want you to promise us that if we spend all this money to put in these cable lines, we are going to be the only ones running cable to the houses in your city. They'd get a little bit of a monopoly, like a little mini monopoly.
Or it evolved over time into that.
Over the next few decades, two things happened. One was the internet. And it turned out the best way to get fast internet to people's houses was over cable lines. And the other thing that happened was that those mini monopolies who owned the cable lines merged and merged again and became not so many monopolies. And this caused some problems. Shane Greenstein wrote a paper about one of the most famous examples where Comcast, a cable company, started demanding payments from Netflix, saying, hey, Netflix, if you want to be available to Comcast customers, you've got to pay. Netflix said, no way. And suddenly, Comcast customers who tried to watch movies on Netflix were just in this world of buffering. Worth noting, Comcast is a part owner of Hulu, a direct competitor to Netflix. Anyway, Greenside said if this were a regular competitive market, what Comcast did would not be such a big deal. I mean, in that case, if Comcast choked off my Netflix, I could just switch to another internet provider.
Right. If there were a competitive market with full transparency, then users would punish the providers who don't behave
well. Yeah, my
Netflix
is slow. I could just switch over to whatever, send Time Warner Cable.
But we're not in that situation.
Other countries have solved this problem by breaking up the mini monopolies, so people can choose from lots of different internet providers. In the U.S., though, most Americans do not have a choice about where they get their broadband internet. And so a few years back, the Obama administration put net neutrality in place, and it said cable companies had to treat all internet traffic equally. So, for example, Comcast is not allowed to favor Hulu over Netflix. It's like a bypass or something, I guess.
No, it's a regulatory mechanism to try to limit the distortions of having limited options. That's exactly what it is, and it's founded on a pretty long history in the United States of doing this in things like railroads and electricity and telephones.
Yesterday, the FCC voted to end net neutrality. Internet providers will not be officially obligated to treat all websites equally. Now, Shane says things aren't likely to radically change overnight. Lots of people are going to be challenging this in court. But still, Comcast could potentially put Netflix into the buffering zone once again. And if they do, and Comcast is your only high-speed internet option, there will not be that much you can do about it, except maybe get rid of internet altogether. Speaking of which, Cardiff Garcia.
Yes.
You have to tell us what it was like to have no internet.
I required a few adjustments. I did read more books, and that was nice. On the other hand, I also watched Netflix shows on my iPhone, holding it like 4 inches from my face with the lights off like a huge weirdo. Okay. And by the end of the year, I just sort of had enough. So, shamefully, I went crawling back to Time Warner.
You got internet.
I got internet. I got cable. Hell, I even got Showtime thrown in.
Like, you got like the platinum package.
I completely overcompensated for what I'd been missing the prior year. That's how that story ended.
I think they learned their lesson, Cardiff. I think you really
I'll
should.
I'll tell you what, I learned mine.
If you liked this episode of The Indicator, please subscribe.
Our listeners asked for it, and we are delivering. Now you're going to hear shows on everything from taxes to toll roads to mythical beasts.
That's true.
Just search for The Indicator wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from Amica Insurance, offering auto, home, and life insurance with personalized coverage and a reputation for exceptional service. Amica puts customers as their top priority. Visit meetamica.com/NPR.